Doctors, welcome to the Sean Steele Monthly PI Conference Call. Doctors, as always, you're invited to press the number 1 on your touchtone phone to enter the question queue at any time. Sean has a very special guest this month. Sean, take it away.
Thanks very much, Shane. Doctors, good afternoon. This is a perfect time that we'd like to spend together while you're eating lunch. I understand sometimes an entire staff will be listening into it. That's very exciting. Today we got Dr. Sonny Rubin. I'm quite excited for a variety of reasons. First of all, he's a sharp, engaging, brilliant person. But besides that, he's taken a very ticklish area that almost raises philosophical questions for chiropractors. He is a pain management specialist. And on that note, before we get into too many details, doctors, you're welcome to enter the conversation at any point by pressing the 1 button. Or you can email me, seansteele@seansteele.com, in case the lines are busy. But we got several hundred chiropractors that are listening to us right now, and some acupuncturists. So if you can't get in, you can email me. I'm looking at it in real time. We also record this, and it's on my website, seansteele.com. And that helps. Dr. Rubin, tell us a little bit about your background and where your practice is.
Hi, Sean. So good afternoon. Thank you for the very kind, thoughtful introduction. And also thank you for all the doctors out there and acupuncturists who joined in to hear this teleconference between you and I. A little bit about my background. So I'm a board-certified anesthesiologist, first and foremost. So I did an internship in internal medicine, then a residency in anesthesiology. I practiced anesthesiology for quite some time, and then I went into pain management, became board certified in interventional pain management as well. I say interventional pain management because my practice is geared around not prescribing narcotic pills or muscle relaxants, and more of an interventional approach to identify the pain generator, so exactly where the pain is stemming from. And we basically, once conservative measures have failed and patient has undergone the chiropractic treatment or acupuncture or manipulation soft tissue modalities, then they want to take their treatment a step further. We would identify the pain generator and introduce an anti-inflammatory solution, which majority of it's naturally based, plant-based. And we'd take the inflammation swelling down, which would in turn take the pain away, basically. So that's what pretty much sums up my practice. And most recently, we've introduced a regenerative component to the practice. So platelet-rich plasma, autologous stem cell therapy, for the very similar and same concepts. So that sums up my background there, Sean.
That's a whole bunch of information. It's almost overwhelming because you talk about regenerative medicine. Is that where the patient's own blood is drawn and then replenished back into the body? Is that an example of that? Because there's a lot of doctors in different fields that seem to be using this. A lot of surgeons are using it, plastic surgeons. Tell us the benefit of using the patient's own blood.
So again, you know, this goes back and stems from my philosophy. I've always been a holistic doctor. Even when I went into medical school, I just felt, you know, we should always practice what we preach. I was never a proponent of the narcotic pills, a non-steroidal component. I'm not saying they don't have their place. They do in extreme scenarios. But from a regenerative component, this is the evolution in my book, with respect to helping to heal patients. So we'll take their blood, we'll spin it down, we'll obtain the platelet-rich plasma, which contains growth factors, which is the exact opposite of what a corticosteroid can do. Thereby breaking down tissue, the PRP can help regenerate and stimulate growth, and that is taken from the blood in answering your question. And with respect to these stem cells, we can take it from the bone marrow, and we can again spin that down. And those are the patient's own undifferentiated stem cells, what we call them. And once we place them into the exact anatomical location, they can help turn into that either cartilaginous tissue, ligamentous tissue, and allow the body to heal itself. which, again, is where I've really geared my practice around in terms of a holistic healing wellness approach towards patient care in conjunction with, obviously, therapy, rehabilitation, manipulation, chiropractic care, acupuncture, all the non-invasive modalities that can help patients stay away from the narcotic pills, muscle relaxants, as well as extreme surgical intervention.
You've raised up an issue that we met recently with several doctors, and the first question I asked you, and I asked this to a lot of pain management specialists, this is the age of heroin overdoses, opioids, narcotics, where it's become mainstream. It's no longer just a junkie on the street corner, although that's a big factor too, but it's a lot of folks that were prescribed narcotics by their physicians, different specialties, not just by pain management by any means, but by their local PCP, primary care doctor, provider. And a lot of folks get hooked on the OxyContin, I threw you a curveball, and I said, well, doctor, what do you do with your patients that become drug addicts? It was a very tough question, and you said to me, to my amazement, I've never heard this from a pain doctor before, I don't use narcotics. And I was a loss for words. I've never heard an MD ever say that. I don't use narcotics. And then just to prove the point, you have a new associate that had practiced at Kaiser for a number of years who was also a pain management specialist. And you had to teach him how to do pain management without narcotics because at Kaiser, they use that very heavily. Is that an accurate summation of our discussion?
Well, it is, Sean. It's funny you refreshed my memory on that. When you just said, Dr. Rubin, what do you do with your OxyContin patients? My knee-jerk reflex response to what you just said is, I don't have patients on OxyContin. It's not what I do. Typically, a lot of other specialists or physicians, they believe a pain management specialist, we're handing out narcotics or we're managing patients on narcotics, which is a very small component of it. But I think true pain management is avoiding those pills. Any patients that I do see on these narcotic pills, majority of them come from a primary care specialist or an orthopedic or a spine specialist in an attempt to help control patients' pain by masking it with these narcotic pills. It's simply makeup on a blemish. We're not identifying the root of the problem. We're not solving the problem. And again, not to say they don't have their place. If somebody has hardware or nerve compression, they may have their place, but outside of that, as an anesthesiologist, I dealt with pain management in extreme cases, and I just don't see the need for it, quite frankly.
Well,
and it's what's trained. It's what's trained in these pain management programs.
I'm so impressed with this. You sound like a chiropractor because the basis and the fundamentals. I come from a chiropractic three-generation family, three females, by the way, in three different generations also. And the mantra has always been something I subscribe to, no knives, no surgery or drugs. And now you sound like a chiropractor in a sense philosophically, but you also are getting patients that may or may not be addicts or close to being addicts. Is that what you're saying? You're actually getting patients that are somewhat dependent on the OxyContin, for example? You just inherit that?
Yeah, well, again, that's the misnomer here, is that a lot of these internal medicine specialists, urgent cares, family practice physicians who are considered the primary care gatekeepers, they don't know what to do with their patients once they're on these medications. Mm. And then they believe that the pain management specialist is the next specialist down the line to manage them at this point. So, we inherit them.
You get the damaged goods. When I was talking to your colleague, my question to him was, when you were at Kaiser, how did you handle your OxyContin dependent patients? In other words, you would give them, let's say, a dose a day, 30 pills, for example, for 30 days, but they would be back in your office demanding more after 7 days. And we know what's going on. They either take a lot extra, more than they should have, or they're selling it for cash. and they run out quickly, but they're still dependent. And I'm thinking there's got to be a horrible struggle at medical offices all over America where the patient gets addicted, they use it up, they want more, and they're back demanding more because they really legitimately, in a sense, believe they're in pain. So I said, how do you handle that? And then you came across with this totally different approach as well. I don't have that problem. But your colleague did at Kaiser. I imagine that this is a systematic problem throughout the country.
So it is. I mean, it's an epidemic in America. Everybody's aware about it. It's an epidemic in Orange County here, actually.
Hmm.
I think I read a survey that said we had close to maybe 100 deaths a month from opioid abuse here in Orange County alone, and the CDC reported 25,000 deaths in America in 2014 from opioid addiction.
And they're mostly young people. Not, by the way, not all the time. Many boomers, many middle age, but the astonishing reality is that a large percentage, perhaps half or 25 or under, these are people that have just begun their lives, and I don't want to dwell on this too long. I want to go to some other areas, but I have a friend that was in West Virginia working with paramedics, and the paramedics, when they come to an overdose, they have to put they have to strap down the patient before they wake him up because the patient's dying. He's basically
right.
in a pre-coma. When they're awakened, many times they become furious at the lifesavers because they were awakened from their heroin overdose. Even though they're dying, they were upset that they lost their high. Now that is a real suicidal kind of thinking, and that really brought it in stark terms that the protocol for EMTs is to go out there and first strap down the overdose patient so they don't get violent and hurt the ambulance person. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's wild. That's just completely wild.
No, it is. It's consuming our youth. You know, I'm a father. I'm a physician. I'm a practitioner. And I'm just very happy to be able to hang my hat on the fact that I'm not part of the opioid epidemic. And I'm doing my best to educate our colleagues out there and let them know that we don't need these pills. There's other remedies. There's more conservative approach to this, more of a holistic wellness approach that we can encompass with, you know, I use plant-based medicines that I can inject in and around the spine, the joints, in conjunction with the PRP, the stem cells. And this is, again, this is all in conjunction with chiropractic care, physical therapy, acupuncture. It's a multimodal effect in pain management to get patients better, minus narcotic pills, minus surgical intervention. But again, in extreme cases, they do have their place. But I'm saying on a general scale, I think we can avoid this majority of the time.
That's music. Let me give you a prototype of a case that we often see. We get a middle-aged person in a serious rear-end collision where both cars are towed away. If the cars are towed away, that tells me it's a pretty high energy impact. The patient goes to the chiropractic office and it's got problems from head to foot. We might have some shoulder problems, neck problems, constant headaches, low back, and maybe a lower extremity. And after a couple of 3 weeks, the patient's responding, except for the low back. There seems to be a radiculopathy forming where they can feel the sensation down their leg, down to their foot. And so the chiropractor is looking at this, and that's a point that probably an MRI makes sense, and chiropractors can and often and regularly get their patients to MRI imaging. You don't need an MD for that. But it's probably a great idea to have a medical specialist do an evaluation, not treatment, an evaluation. That's so important because some DCs, if I refer them to the MD, I've lost that patient, I can't help them anymore, and the MD is going to do all this medical stuff. Not true in my world. To me, MDs are part of the triage team, and they should be looking, they should have a pro-chiropractic perspective. They should have a holistic perspective, and they should understand they're going to make recommendations, put it in writing, and send that report to the DC. And if the MD makes recommendations, That then is a decision that the chiropractor and the patient makes together. Is that something, are you comfortable with that protocol?
So, Sean, I think that's why from the day you and I met, we always saw eye to eye on a conservative approach towards injured patients, non-injured patients. I've been around chiropractic care for over 20 years now, and I've treated patients. They've come to me for consultations, and the chiropractic care and the manipulations and the myofascial release techniques, electromuscle stimulation therapy, IC, these are all conservative modalities that not only do I prescribe for my patients, but I use personally for myself, actually. I can tell you that I don't have any in-house therapy or physical therapy or chiropractic care here. These are modalities that I like to work hand in hand with our chiropractic colleagues. I consider our chiropractic colleagues, they're the primary care specialists, physicians, and gatekeepers of these patients who, majority of the time, these patients just want to get better conservatively. They don't want to go to a specialist, and nobody wants, my 3 or 5 inch needle inserted into their spine or joint. They don't want the narcotics. They don't want the surgery. I'm a specialist here to help work hand in hand with the chiropractors and physical therapists to help get patients better together. The injection therapy that I perform, it does work, but it works better when we work together hand in hand with what the chiropractor's specialty does and what I do exactly.
I wish more MDs understood and appreciated it. Let's take a case. We got a patient in a car accident with the facts that I mentioned earlier. They go to your office referred by a chiropractor for an evaluation. There's true radiculopathy. The MRI films are positive. What would you recommend, or would you need other facts?
I need other facts. Typically, I like to look at the time frame of these incidents that have occurred, these traumatic events to the patients. I like to see and make sure that they're at least engaging in conservative modalities to try to get better. I'm not a fan of the pills either which way about it. But from a very basic conservative standpoint, maybe some over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medications. If patients want to go more of the naturalistic approach, there's, arnica or turmeric that we can, or vitamin D3 supplementation. These can all work to help heal and act as natural anti-inflammatories in conjunction with the ice and the electromuscle stimulation, the myofascial release techniques. I know all this stuff because I've worked hand in hand with my chiropractic colleagues, and we've worked extensively together to collaborate and work with their areas of expertise and my area of expertise with the injection therapy to get patients better.
Well, let's take a more extreme case. True radiculopathy in the patient's in pain. Real livid pain. Loves her chiropractor. Wants to continue with chiropractic, but what do you offer for a patient that's in true pain?
All right, so in the radicular symptom with a combination of axial, we'll say lower back pain in this case, I'll identify with the patient their time course of treatment with their chiropractor. I like to see at a minimum of at least 4 to 8 weeks of conservative therapy that has taken place at this point. And there's peaks and valleys in their pain patterns. So they see the chiropractor, they're feeling better. They'll go home, they'll go to work, they'll engage in some kind of strenuous activity, the pain will return. Then they'll seek out my expertise. Will I identify the pain generator on the MRI? And let me point out, it can be with or without mechanical compression. A lot of times I'm asked, well, doctor, the disc isn't pushing on the nerve root. How can this patient truly have a radicular component, and it's called a chemical radiculitis, we call it. So there's there's inflammatory mediators that leak out of the disc, and they start to touch the nerve and cause it to inflame and create the symptomatology that the patient feels. And in that particular scenario, depending on the patient's subjective complaints and pain scales and the injection therapy, which I perform with plant-based medicines, local anesthetic, we can dilute a small amount of corticosteroid in there. Obviously, we don't want to do this repetitively because it can break down tissue. But the most beneficial results where we put this anti-inflammatory solution, it'll calm the fire down. Then the patient goes back or continues on with the chiropractic care from a soft tissue standpoint, manipulation, any kind of traction, any and all modalities from a conservative standpoint. I'm very very pleased to implement for patient care.
All right. Now, when it comes to, let's say, the probably the biggest tool that you have in the toolbox is the epidural.
Correct.
When you do the epidural, what's in the epidural? What kind of a cocktail is it? And how often would you give a patient an epidural if they're in really debilitating pain? I've heard different points of view, and so it's a loaded question. Is it always going to be three epidurals? Is it only one? What's your protocol for that?
So protocol is what the patient's clinical picture demands, actually. There's guidelines. There's the International Society of Interventional Spine. Their particular guidelines state to perform these injections no sooner than 7 days apart. So you can perform them at a week apart, which I used to do in my practice, but no sooner than 7 days apart. These days, I like to watch the medicine take effect in conjunction with the chiropractic therapy. So we give patients about 14 days, 2 weeks in between injections, and that's if they need the second or third injection only. So are the best results seen after a series of three? A lot of times they are, but also there's times when the patients are better after one or two injections, and we don't need to perform the second or third. They continue on with their chiropractic care from a preservation standpoint, ongoing therapeutic wellness standpoint, and that in and of itself, combined with one, two, you know, three injections tops to help get them out of pain, keep them out of pain, and move on with their lives at this point. From a solution standpoint, you ask, what's my recipe? It's my proprietary mixture, Sean, but I'll share it with you guys. It is plant-based, so it's an anti-inflammatory solution mixed with a plant-based solution, which blocks the nociceptive C fibers, which transmit pain up the spinal cord to our brain, in conjunction with a local anesthetic. So that in itself is also a multimodal effect. We're combining an anti-inflammatory, we're blocking the C fibers, and we're blocking the sodium channels on the nerve. So if we can hit all these aspects of inflammation, sensory components, then we can help calm the pain. The million-dollar question I get asked, well, doctor, isn't this a temporary fix or isn't this a Band-Aid? You're not truly going to heal my
disc. Good question.
Yeah, you're not truly going to heal my disc. And my answer is nothing's going to truly heal the disc. I mean, if we tell these patients to go to surgery, that's not the answer unless it's flattening the spinal cord or nerves and there's a motor sensory reflex deficit going on or foot drop. The injection therapy, in my professional opinion, is used to initiate the healing process, take the inflammation down, calm the nerves down, and in an attempt to initiate the healing process, allow the conservative care with the chiropractors to help calm the fire down. Over time, it's been shown that these discs, they can naturally reabsorb on their own. They can pull back on their own. They're not going to be virgin discs anymore, but they're going to be slightly desiccated, dehydrated discs now. And that's why these ongoing therapy I see is truly beneficial for patients after the injection. So again, it's a multimodal therapeutic approach with the injection, the chiropractors, and we can work together to keep patients off pills and keep them away from surgery.
Well, it sounds awfully good. Let's we only have a couple of minutes left, doctors. So, a couple of final questions. In the facility that you're located at in Newport Beach, you also your colleagues also have a TBI protocol, which we're finding so many serious concussion cases that have been mostly undiagnosed for most of humankind. We've always had concussions, but we really haven't diagnosed them or understood them, and we're learning a lot more since the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Tell me about your colleague's TBI protocol.
So Dr. Motion Shaw, he's a neurospine surgeon, board certified. I'm going to put that out there. He's recently board certified. Congratulations, Dr. Shaw. Mm-hmm. He is one of the premier top trauma spine surgeons in Orange County. I'm very privileged to be able to work with him and thankful, actually. With that being said, his focus is on TBI, so traumatic brain injury, post-concussive, depression, anxiety, a multitude of central nervous system disorders that we can treat, or he can treat, with what's called TMS therapy, and this is transmagnetic brain stimulation therapy. And again, this is what I would consider a conservative approach outside of placing patients on antidepressant medications, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, tricyclic antidepressants, all these centrally acting medications that, I mean, we've all seen the commercials from the pharmaceutical industry. They'll show you a beautiful flower with a patient running through a garden, and then they'll list 20 side effects involved with it. So,
well, yeah, it only involves, complete castration, a neurological collapse, and sometimes death. We always correct. Chuckle when we see those commercials. They're so laughable, and yet they're the mainstay of modern television. The right. pharmaceuticals are the biggest. It used to be tobacco. I miss tobacco commercials, and now it's pharmaceutical. It's hard to say which one is most lethal. Where are you located, and are you only in one location?
So we're located in Newport Beach, Sean, across from Hoag Hospital. We have satellite facilities in Downey to help serve Los Angeles County. We have a Corona location to serve the Inland Empire. We take all insurances, PPO, Medicare, cash. We accept patients on liens for personal injury. We accept approved workman's compensation. We're a group of specialists from an orthopedic spine pain management standpoint. Again, we don't have any in-house chiropractic care, acupuncture, physical therapy. So we like to work hand-in-hand with our chiropractic physicians and colleagues to help get these patients better, conservatively speaking. And, I touched on surgery before, again, I'm not saying they don't have their place in extreme scenarios when patients, they've gone through the chiropractic care, they've gone through the injections, and they're just not getting better. There is some time frame for it, so I just want to put that out there.
I deeply appreciated. Well, doctor, it's been very thorough. If I'm a doctor and I want to find you, how am I going to find Dr. Sonny Rubin besides looking him up under Sonny Rubin? And is that with an O or a U? I'm going to guess it's with an O. Sonny
so
Rubin.
It's with an O. It's with an O, Sean. You're absolutely right. S-O-N-N-Y. And it's R-U-B-I-N. So Dr. Sonny Rubin. And I'm under Orange County Pain Specialist. Pretty easy to remember. And we're also evolving into regenerative medicine, so Newport Regenerative Medicine. You can look us up on our website. Our phone number is 949-933-7012. Our website is orangecountypainspecialist.com. And if we could be of any service, you can always reach out, scheduling at orangecountypainspecialist.com, and we'd be very happy to help. And I'm always helpful in any which way I can. Colleagues can get my cell phone number. You have it. You can pass out any questions or concerns, I'm very happy to help any which way I can.
Well, this is all extremely valuable. I will say, doctors, if you forget how to contact Dr. Rubin, you can just reach me. I'm easy. Find it on find a copy of this this recording on the website. It's been a delight talking to you, Dr. Rubin. It's there's so much going on, and it's exciting to see a holistic, what I would call a pro chiropractic approach, and that you like and have enjoyed working with chiropractors for some time. I would almost say that you speak fluent chiropractic, and that's terribly important.
It's where I go for my treatment, I got to tell you. So
that's outstanding. Well, doctor, thanks very much. Doctors, it's now exactly 1:30. We can go about our day, and it's been a pleasure serving and being with everyone. If you have any ongoing questions, our PI email alert was just sent out 30 minutes ago, and so there's a lot of new, rich information about pain trauma codes that is often not looked at carefully enough, I think, by us. We have a case of an attorney that was suspended for not paying a chiropractor on his lien, which is nice to see that the state bar is doing good work occasionally. And there's a big issue that's coming up about pre-existing injuries and how insurance companies are trying to make that. They're trying to blame the old accident for the new accident. But that's what the world we live in. So we're your chiropractic attorneys. Dr. Rubin, a great pleasure, and we'll be talking to you again. Thanks very much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much, and thank all the doctors for tuning in and listening, and we hope it was informative.
Very good. It certainly is. Bye-bye now.
All right, take care.
Thank you. This officially ends today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.